Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to take your Bible tonight and go ahead and be turning, just to kind of get a head start, to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12. And if you have your handout, please have that ready to go. And we're going to dive right in tonight. You know, the Bible calls the church ambassadors for Jesus Christ. An ambassador is a representative. And of course, God's desire is that we as a church take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He wants us to take that good news out into the world. He wants us to sound out the word of the Lord. He wants us to function as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And we're to spread the gospel to the world. It's a big task. It's a huge task. It's an enormous task. There's 6 billion people on the earth, and it's a big task. And so, you know, here we are, Crossroads, and we're in, you know, Daytona Beach, Florida, and we're at 1851 South Clyde Morris Boulevard, and God expects us as a church body to do our part in helping to advance the cause of Christ on this earth and to get the gospel out to our city, to our region, to our state, to our country, and then ultimately to the world. It's a big task. And in your handout it says, thank the Lord, He's also provided us the tools. And that's the blank there. He's provided us the tools that we need to perform the task He's given us. And the tools that I'm talking about are the subject of the class. He's given us what we call spiritual gifts. Now, who would be calling me right now? I've never had that happen. You never know what's going to happen, do you? I'm not answering it, just so you know. Oh, mercy. I have no idea who that is. All right. Hey, there's only one number I would have answered. That's my wife's, all right? Because she's with probably 70 kids. So if she calls, I'm picking up, all right? But, yeah, I mean, we've got a big job to do, but God's given us the tools. Hey, how many of you in here have ever had a job to do and you didn't have the correct tools to do the job? You ever had that happen? When I grew up, you know, it's funny how when my boys were growing up and we'd get them toys, it was amazing to me how every toy took about 18 batteries, you know, and They take all these batteries, and they have battery compartments now on all this stuff. I guess probably it's regulations. It wasn't that way when I was a kid growing up. If you ever had a toy with a battery, you know, you just snapped it back and you put your batteries in. Of course, now they're all screwed in. You know, I guess probably it's federal laws and all that and safety stuff. And so now they've got, you know, 16 screws you got to unscrew just to get the battery compartment off to put the batteries in. And whenever we would have Christmas or birthdays and they'd get a toy, and me, you know, I'm like, well, you know what? I don't feel like taking the time to go and look for a screwdriver, a little screwdriver, and try to get these little screws out. I'll just take this knife and I'll use a knife. And I would get so frustrated because I'm trying to take these little screws out with a knife because I don't want to take the time to get up and to go and find a screwdriver. And I would get so frustrated and so aggravated. And then finally, I just kind of like forget it and I get up and I go search for a screwdriver. I don't know about you guys. Have you ever found, yeah, some of you wives are pointing at your husband. Have you ever found, guys, have y'all ever had this happen where you spend 30 minutes looking for your tools for a five-minute project, you know? And so I find the screwdriver and come out. Once I find the screwdriver, guess what? Piece of cake, man. Just pop them babies right out in a matter of seconds, and man, you're in business, you know, and the kids are playing and they're happy. You just got to have the right tools. And in the Christian life, you got to have the right tools. And God has given you a spiritual gift as a tool to use in ministry, to minister, and to advance the cause of Christ. He's given us these tools that we need. During World War II, Winston Churchill said, "Give us the tools and we'll finish the job. Give us the tools and we'll finish the job. Praise the Lord, God has given us the tools to do the job through His Holy Spirit. Today, unfortunately, the church, many times, has attempted to substitute man's programs, man's promotions, man's ideas in place of God's spiritual gifts in order to accomplish our mission. And the church in America, especially, has seemed to become very program-driven. We rely on these nifty ideas instead of relying on God's spiritual gifts that He's given to the body of Christ. The church is looking for better methods, but God's looking for better men and women who can carry out His plan and His purpose through the means of God's spiritual gifts. Now, there's nothing wrong with programs. You know, there's nothing wrong with great ideas, and there's nothing wrong with promotions and so forth, but they should complement, they should not replace God's method of using the spiritual gifts of believers in Christ. I want you to do something for me now. I want you to take your hand out, and I want you to either at the top or at the bottom or on the side or wherever you choose to do it, I want you to be honest. No one's going to see this but you, all right? You don't have to turn it in. So nobody's going to see it but you. But I want you to write down what you think your spiritual gift might be in serving the Lord. Like, what do you think your gift is? And just jot it down. Everybody participate. Everybody try. And, you may not nail it, but I want you to just jot down what you think your area of giftedness is as far as where you can be useful in the body of Christ. What do you think your gift might be? All right? Now just jot that down and write that somewhere on your handout. Okay? Some of you are looking at me like, huh? Just whatever you think, all right? Jot that down and have it there. All right? We're going to kind of refer back to that later. The purpose of our lesson tonight is really not to go through the gifts. We're going to actually take the gifts that God's given to the body of Christ, and we're going to look at them one by one in the class this semester. It's 13 weeks. And by the end of the 13 weeks, my goal for you is that you will very clearly be able to identify what your gift is that's been given to you by God to serve in the body of Christ, to serve and to help further the cause of Christ. You will be able to figure out what your spiritual gift is. You know, and I know some of you right now are asking questions like, well, how do I know I've been given a spiritual gift? You know, well, when was I given the gift? I don't remember it happening, and I didn't see it happen. How did I receive my gift? And that's the purpose of tonight. We're going to lay a foundation, and we're going to show you these things tonight from the Word of God, all right? So, having said that, and that's kind of introduction, let's dive into the first point, all right? Look at it with me. Number one, the first principle I want you to get is this. The Scriptures teach that every believer has been given spiritual gifts. Every believer has been given spiritual gifts. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 12. And you feel free to use the Pew Bible if you need to, but Romans chapter 12, all right, or you can look off with somebody next to you if you don't have a Bible. Look at Romans 12, and let's begin reading in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul said, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, and he's talking about your physical body. You have many members, but one body, correct? You got fingers, toes, nose, ears, mouth, eyes, arms, legs. Many members, one body. They all don't have the same office, all right? My ears don't smell. I hope they don't. My nose doesn't hear, you know. And so we've got many members, but they don't all have the same office or function. All right, let's look at the next verse, verse 5. So we, now he's going to apply that to the church. So we, being many, and you look here tonight, there's many people here. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And then verse 6 says, having then what? Gifts. But then the next word's important, differing. We all have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And then he begins to name some gifts, and this isn't all of them, but some of them. Prophecy, he lists ministry, verse 7, teaching, exhorting. He mentions ruling, which is like leadership, verse 8. He talks about showing mercy. And so he names some of those gifts. So now, what I want you to go back and look at, though, is look back there at verse number 3. And notice the end of that verse. It says, according as God hath dealt to who? Every man. And man is generic. It just means every person. Every person has been given these gifts. Every person has a gift. All right, go to the next book of the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians 7, and look at verse 7. It says, for I would that all men were even as myself, Paul said, but, and what's that phrase again? Every man hath his proper, what? Gift of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, same book, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 7. The context here is spiritual gifts. And then verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to, there it is again, say it with me, what? Every man. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, to profit the whole body. Okay, so the manifestation of the Spirit, talking about the manifesting of the Spirit to give gifts, is given to every man. Verse 11, but all these, talking about all these gifts, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to, there it is if you want to underline it, every man severally as he will. Every man. Now I know I've heard this before. Brother Mike, who's helping me in the class, you pastored 35 years, I'm sure you heard kind of the same thing, similar, is sometimes people will kind of say or have the attitude, well, I can't teach, and I can't sing, and I can't get up in front of people. I just haven't been given any spiritual gifts by God. Is that true or false? False. It's false. By the way, does every spiritual gift involve getting up in front of people? We're going to find out that's not the case at all. Many of the gifts deal with people behind the scenes. You know, most of you in here tonight probably did not see any of the cooking going on, all right? It was behind the scenes, right? And that's just one example. You didn't see somebody turn the air conditioning on. Aren't you glad they did turn it on? Amen? Man, it is humid right now. Wow, it's just unreal how humid it is. But yet somebody did that. Somebody unlocked the door so we could get in. Somebody turned the lights on. So not every gift that we're going to talk about in here is a gift where you're getting up in front of people. And it's going to be exciting to you because you're going to find out most of the gifts aren't that. And you're going to be excited to know, oh, I do have gifts. I do have this. You know, and God wants you to use them, and God's excited about you using them. Every believer has been given at least one spiritual gift to assist the church in achieving our mission, God's mission. Now, in your handout it says, when did we receive them? When did we receive the gift that we have to serve the Lord? Well, in your handout it says, it happened the moment we were saved. It happened the moment that you were saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure if you die today, you go to heaven. We'd be so glad to help you get that settled. And here's the deal. If you get saved and you're not saved, the moment you get saved, God's Holy Spirit imparts to you a spiritual gift for you to be able to serve the Lord. He gives you the tools, all right? Most of us did not realize when we got saved that that was happening. You know, I got saved when I was about 13, 14 years old. My brother led me to Christ, and I didn't know one verse of the Bible. I was biblically totally, you know, ignorant of the Bible. And when I got saved, the Holy Spirit gave me those gifts to serve Him. But I didn't know that was happening. Just like I, you know, when you get saved, but by the way, just because I didn't know it was happening, was it happening? Well, yeah, I know it was because the Bible tells me that. I just wasn't aware of it at the time. I learned it later. See, as with much of this stuff that happens, you learn later. You say, well, Pastor Nam, how do you know that it happened at salvation? How do you know that I got a spiritual gift when I got saved? Well, think about this. Now think logically with me. If we got spiritual gifts down the road after we got saved, if spiritual gifts came, say, 1 year after you got saved, or 2 years after you got saved, or when you achieved a certain growth in your life, if spiritual gifts came later, then when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and we read every man, every man, every man, and when he wrote to the Roman church, and he said, God's dealt to every man this, well, that wouldn't have been true, because some of them would have had the spiritual gifts, some of them wouldn't have, you know, if we didn't get them immediately at salvation. But God is very explicit when He writes to Christians who are in Christ, and some of them are carnal, we know at Corinth, some of them are wicked, living wicked lives, but yet He said every man's been given these gifts. Now let me explain this to you. When you got saved, and again, probably you're like me, I had no idea all this was going on when I got saved, but when you got saved, the Holy Spirit did several things for you the moment you got saved. For example, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell your body. The Bible teaches that all Christians are indwelt by God's Spirit. I didn't know that was happening when I got saved, but He did. He came to live inside me. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit took you and baptized. He placed you. He identified you. That's what baptism means, to identify. The Holy Spirit, immediately when you got saved, baptized you into the body of Christ, into Jesus. You became one with Jesus. I had no clue that was happening when I got saved. In fact, look, if you're in 1 Corinthians 12, look down at verse 13. Now, remember, he's writing to some carnal Christians here. But yet, look at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we, and what's that next little word? All. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into what? One body. And then you skip on down here to verse 27. What body is he talking about? Well, he says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Hey, question. Did the Holy Spirit baptize you into Christ the moment you got saved? Yes. Did you know it was happening? I didn't. No. I didn't have a clue that was happening. But it was. And by the way, you want to know something else? The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit sealed you. Aren't you thankful for that? That means you can't lose your salvation once you get it. The Holy Spirit sealed you until the day of redemption. So you got baptized, you got indwelt, you got sealed, and by the way, he also regenerated your spirit the moment you got saved. I just named four things the Holy Spirit did, and probably most of you in here like me had no clue what was going on when you got saved. The Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ, he indwelt you, he sealed you, and he regenerated you. All four of those things happened the moment you got saved, and yet most of us were ignorant of it. Well, in your handout it says, the Holy Spirit also bestowed gifts unto you. so that you could function as a vital, profitable member of the body of Christ and help spread the gospel. And here's the point I want to get across here, is that what a shame if we don't use those gifts we've been given. What a shame if we don't use those gifts. Can you imagine if, say, a missionary is on the field, and say he's in a remote area, like I think about Euler Falcão, one of our missionaries that's in Brazil, and he's on the Amazon River. I mean, you got to take a boat to get where he's at. You can't take a car or a train or anything like that. I mean, you just can't. You got to take a boat. You got to go down the Amazon River and to get there. And you think about that. He, you know, a missionary that's in a remote area, and say that missionary has a child, and that child gets deathly ill. And say that that somebody in the States hears about it. They send a package, and in that package is the medicine that's needed for that child to get well. But the missionary's so busy taking care of the child, so busy ministering to the child, so busy, you know, trying to do everything he can to keep that child alive and to make that child comfortable, he never opens the package. And the child dies. And all along, there was the package. And still sitting there unopened, and inside it was what was needed to help that child. And I thought, you know, what a shame if we've been given a spiritual gift by the Lord, yet we go through our whole life and we're knocking our head up against the wall, and we're unhappy in our Christian life, and we're frustrated most of the time, and we feel like we're not being fruitful, we're not being as productive as we need to be. And you know what? It's because we never opened and unwrapped that gift that God gave to us. We never took the time to discover that gift that God gave us. We never unwrapped the package, and we never used it. The Holy Spirit enters in and bestows to you a gift when you get saved. Now, somebody may be here, and they may say, well, you know, Pastor Dan, I don't think it's that important. You know, I'm just going to serve the Lord how I can. That spiritual gift stuff, I don't think it's that important. Well, imagine giving your child or your spouse or your loved one a gift at Christmas. And man, I mean, you really, really are excited about giving them this gift. And you are just pumped up, man. I mean, you really thought about it a lot, and you spent a lot of time, and you went out and you sacrificed, and you went out and you got them that gift. And then you give them the gift. How would you feel if you did that for your child and they never even opened the gift? How would you feel? How do you think God feels when He's given us spiritual gifts to be used for His glory, and we don't take the time to open it, to unwrap it, to discover it, to use it? You see, we've got to unwrap it. We've got to use it. And that's what this class is about. And by, you know, we're laying the foundation here tonight. And we're going to get into the nitty-gritty, and it's going to be fun. We're going to go through each of the gifts. And some of you want you know, we're going to have weeks where we're going to talk about this gift, and you're going to be like, man, that is not me. But boy, that's my spouse. Or boy, that's my friend. Or boy, I know why he acts that way, you know. And then there'll be a week where you're like, whoa, yeah, that's me. And everything fits. And it's just going to be exciting to you when you discover that. And you see, it's like, wow, I get it. Now I know why I gravitate to this or that. Now I know why I'm always wanting to do this. And maybe my husband wants to serve over here and do this. Now I get it, and it's going to be exciting as we go through those. But we're going to lay the foundation for the first couple weeks, and we're going to make sure you understand what spiritual gifts are, when did you get them, how did you get them, and what I want you to see first is that how many believers have received a spiritual gift to serve the Lord? Come on, talk to me. How many? All. Every single one. If you're saved, have you been given a gift? Yes, you have. Holy Spirit gave it to you. When did you get it? The moment you got saved. Good. Excellent. You guys are with me. You got it the moment you got saved. All right? Now, that leads me to my next point. All right, let's go ahead and look in our handout. We got to understand what spiritual gifts are not, because there are some misconceptions. I want to make sure we clear them up here on the first day. All right? Number one, Spiritual gifts are not the same as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You say, what are you talking about? Let's go there. Go ahead and turn to the right a couple books after Corinthians is Galatians. Go to chapter 5. You're just going to go to the right, two books. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 22. The gifts of the Spirit are not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 list the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. I want you to be careful to not confuse these two things. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are not the same. Now, earlier in the lesson, I had you write down what you thought your gift was. And listen, don't feel bad, because I would have done the same thing, okay? Many years ago, before I understood these things, I would have probably done the same thing. But some of you may have put, my gift is love. Or my gift, I think, is patience. I know that one's not mine, amen? But no, those aren't gifts. What are they? That's fruit of the Spirit. All right, you say, well, what's the difference? Look in your handout. It says the fruit of the Spirit deals with attitude and character. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience. Being gentle, being good, being filled with faith, being meek, being temperate, that is controlled. The fruit of the Spirit deals with attitude and character. Those are character issues. Spiritual gifts are concerned with, what does it say in your handout there? Ministry, serving, all right? So there's a difference there. Gifts, by the way, now this is important. Spiritual gifts can be misused. All right? Well, for example, could a person have the gift of teaching, and could they end up using that gift in an evil way to influence people the wrong way? Yes or no? Yes. It's a gift from the Spirit, but they're misusing it. We know that the Corinthians were guilty of misusing the gifts. They were gross offenders of that. We know that the Corinthian church greatly had misused many of the gifts God had given them. So a gift can be misused. Now listen, the fruit of the Spirit can't be. All right, if I manifest the fruit of love, I'm not going to be able to misuse love. If it's truly love and it's coming from the Spirit, it's going to be good. You know, you can't misuse gentleness or goodness or faith. If it's truly something from the Spirit, then it's not going to be misused. All right? Gifts can be misused and abused. In fact, if I have time at the end of the series, at the end of this semester, I'm hoping to have time to give you a whole thing on that, on the abuse of gifts and how we can abuse them. And we can use those gifts in wrong ways to manipulate people and to just use them wrong. Now, listen, nowhere in this Bible are you as a believer commanded to have all the spiritual gifts. You won't. Most of us in here have one or two primary gifts from the Holy Spirit to be used in ministry, to serve. And there's like nine of them that we're going to go through. You're only going to have one or two. All right? And so you are not commanded to have all the gifts, and you won't. And that, by the way, that's why a lot of times we get frustrated with each other. Is because we wonder, you know, well, why won't so-and-so serve over there? Or why won't so-and-so show up for this event or that event? Or why won't so-and-so do this or do that? And why isn't Pastor Dan better at this or that? By the way, I've only got one or two gifts too. I'm not good at everything, okay? I am not spiritual Superman, all right? I'm like you. I'm just a person. I got one or two things that the Holy Spirit's given me that I'm trying to develop and be good at, but I'm not good at all nine gifts, all right? I'm not an expert at all those. Some of the gifts I have, but most of them I don't, and you're the same way. So that's why you got to find your niche. You got to find out what the Holy Spirit's gifted you to do and do it. Be who God's made you in Christ. Don't try to be me, and I don't need to try to be you, you know? You can't try to be someone else. You have to be who God's made you in Christ. This semester, you got to figure out what your gift is and say, okay, I want to use my gift to the glory of God. But I'm not going to covet this gift. And that's the problem. Some people have a gift, but then they covet other people's gifts. And Paul warned about that, coveting gifts. And you're probably like, it's just not fair. So-and-so, he's up in front of people all the time, and people are always patting him on the back, but I'm over here working behind the scenes, and then we can covet other people's gifts. And that's wrong. You got to be who God's made you in Christ. Does that make sense? By the way, I know this is a Bible study and it's not a service, but it's okay to say amen, all right? Number two, let me give you a second principle. We do not receive spiritual gifts as we grow in Christ. All right? That is, they're not rewards that God dangles out in front of you. The bestowing of gifts has nothing to do with how spiritual a person is, although that could easily be misconstrued because of the name, spiritual gifts. And we think, well, if you're spiritual, you'll have a gift, and if you're not spiritual, you won't have a gift. All spiritual means is it's from the Spirit. The Spirit of God, we already saw, gives to every man a gift. So it happened, by the way, when did it happen? When did you get your gift? I'm reviewing, all right, all the time. And that's on purpose. You say, wait a minute, you already asked us that. I know. But, yeah, you don't get gifts as you grow. It's like, okay, God says, all right, you finally achieved, you know how a lot of these credit cards and stuff, you've got silver and then gold status and then this status and then that. And some people think, you know, that way in the Christian life, well, I've reached the gold status, and so now God's going to give me a gift. That's not the way it works. God doesn't give you gifts, dangle them out in front of you and say, okay, if you're good enough, I'm going to give you a gift. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. Okay, go back to the left, a couple books again. Let's go back to the book we were just in, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me show you something real quick. I'm running out of time already. 1 Corinthians 1:7. All right, look at it with me. It says, 1 Corinthians 1:7. All right. Notice he said to the Corinthian church, so that you, talk about the church there, come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a little hard to follow. What he's saying there is he's basically commending them, saying, you don't have to take a back seat to anybody when it comes to gifts. You don't come behind. You're not behind anyone when it comes to gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are evident among you. So he's commending them there. He's saying, you come behind. But now what I want you to notice, while these gifts were prevalent, the gifts of this Holy Spirit were prevalent in the church at Corinth, their spiritual state, for the most part, was not very good. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and just flip over a page or two to chapter 3 and look at verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. But he said, you're carnal, even as unto babies. Babes in Christ. Now look up here, class. They were babies in their spiritual growth, but yet they still had gifts from the Holy Spirit of God to be used to serve God. My only point in that is to say, don't get the idea, well, I don't have a gift. I don't have a gift. And maybe after I'm saved a year or two, I'll have a gift. No, you got the gift. You got a gift to serve the Lord when you got saved. All right, number three. Spiritual gifts are not to be confused with natural talents. Spiritual gifts are not to be confused with natural talents. Have you ever met, there are certain people that you got talents that are given to you by the grace of God at your maternal birth. Has anybody in here ever met someone who plays an instrument beautifully and you say, how long have you taken lessons? And they say, I've never taken a lesson. Don't they make you sick? No, we rejoice with them. Amen. Or somebody's a beautiful singer. Wow, have you taken lessons? No, I never took a lesson. Just self-taught. Whoa. You know, that's a natural talent. Don't confuse that with spiritual gifts. Now, should we use both of them to glorify God? Yes. But and a lot of times you'll find your natural talents and your spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit will complement each other. That's great. Somebody's got the gift of gab. All right. They're just good at talking to people and being friendly. Well, it's a very good, probably a very pretty good idea. The Holy Spirit would give them the gift of teaching, you know, when they get saved, or exhortation or preaching. So a lot of times they go, some of you have a natural ability. You're good at working with your hands, fixing things, doing things. That's awesome. Well, there is a spiritual gift that we're going to study this semester that ties in beautifully with that. So you may very well have that gift. But your gift from the Holy Spirit is not working with your hands. That's just a talent. But then God wants you to take those talents and use them to coincide with your spiritual gift for the glory of God. All right, let's go to the next thing. Number four, a spiritual gift is not a specialty of ministry. Now look up here and let me explain that. The guy who leads the singing on Sunday morning, Caleb Rich, he plays the guitar. He leads the singing. Great guy. He plays the guitar, plays several instruments. He's a great singer. And somebody may say, well, boy, Caleb Rich, he's been given the spiritual gift of music. Well, as we look through the gifts, you're going to find out that's not a gift that's listed in the Bible. One of the spiritual gifts is not music. You say, really? No. No, that's not one of the gifts. But there is a gift called the gift of ministry. So maybe Caleb has been given the gift of ministering, which in turn can be exercised through the music program of the church. Does that make sense? So the gift he's been given can maybe be worked out through the music program of the church. He doesn't have the gift of music from the Holy Spirit. He's got the gift of ministry, and then he uses music as an outlet for that gift. Somebody says, Pastor Rich has been given the gift of Christian education. Well, there's no such spiritual gift listed. But maybe he's been given the gift of teaching or administration, which in turn can be exercised through the education program of the church. Okay? All right. Same thing with fixing things. Boy, he's got the gift of fixing things. Well, when you look at the spiritual gifts, you don't read fixing things as one of them. All right? But if somebody has that talent of fixing things, there is a gift that coincides with that, which fixing things can be an outlet to use that gift. Okay? All right, last thing. I got to hurry. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to end with this. In your handout, it says, spiritual gifts involve all three members of the Godhead. Godhead meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we think of spiritual gifts, many times we think of only the Holy Spirit, but that's not true. All three members of the Godhead play a vital role and function in spiritual gifts and in the life of the believer. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Notice all three members of the Trinity are mentioned here in verses 4, 5, and 6. Verse 4, now there are diversities. In other words, there's different kinds of gifts, but the same what? There's the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, and there are differences of administrations. That is the way those gifts are used. But the same what? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God the Son. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same what? There's God the Father, which worketh all in all. Different gifts, same Spirit, different administrations or ministries, but one Lord Jesus. Different operations, that is effects, results, but one God, God the Father. There are, these verses show us that the function of spiritual gifts involve all three persons of the Trinity. In your handout, it says, verse 4, God the Holy Spirit bestows the gifts. Verse 5, he gives them to you. By the way, when did he give them to you? when you got saved. Verse 5, God the Son places you in the ministry to use that gift somewhere in the ministry of your local church to use that gift. And then verse 6, God the Father provides the results from using the gifts. Now, let me do this. If you'll look up here, there's a chart that I want to bring up. And if we could go ahead and give us one click. Go ahead and click it once. All right. Now, let's just stop there, and I'll kind of direct you, Doris, through this, okay? But notice, that is a legitimate gift listed in the Scriptures. What is it? Teaching. That is a gift. That's one of the nine gifts that we're going to talk about, the gift of teaching. Now, this spiritual gift, it can be used in different ways. For example, let's go ahead and click. You may use that in preaching up publicly in front of people, publicly teaching people. All right, next, you may use it in writing. A lot of people have the gift of teaching, but the outlet with which they teach is writing. They're very good writers. They write books. They write articles. They, you know, whatever. But they're good. They use that outlet of teaching in writing. That's awesome. All right, look at the next one. Counseling. Kathy Householder is teaching a class, biblical counseling. There are some people with the gift of teaching. They may not use it up in front of people. They may not write, but they may counsel people. They do biblical counseling one-on-one with people, and they're just a good teacher. They're able to teach people biblical concepts and help them with problems in their life. So you see, the gift of teaching there is given by the Holy Spirit, right? But then the Lord Jesus Christ will take that gift and put you in a particular area of ministry. Preaching, writing, counseling, those are just three. There's many other ways teaching can be used. I just named three, all right? And so then the Lord Jesus Christ, he puts you in a place of fruitful ministry, all right? But then we said that Father, God the Father, he gives the results. So let's go ahead and click it again. So you preach, the result may be people get saved or people, all of a sudden, they understand the Bible. In writing, Christian growth. The result is you write and people are growing in their faith. All right? And then counseling, the result is unity. You help people with their problems and you help marriages reconcile and you help church members with disputes reconcile. And the result that God the Father gives is that of Christian unity. So we see one gift given by the Holy Spirit. But I think you guys are, the lights are coming on and you're already seeing how cool this is, all right, is that just because you have the gift of teaching doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be up in front of a class teaching. You may write, you may counsel, there may be different ways you use that gift of teaching, see, all right, but the Holy Spirit gives that gift. The Lord Jesus Christ then will put you in an area of ministry to use that gift, and then the Father, you trust Him to give you the results. Many times, we're guilty of not only trying to control the gift and the ministry, that middle section there, but we even try to control the results, don't we? And instead of accepting the gift we've been given, we try and exercise a gift we haven't been given. And we're frustrated and we're aggravated and we feel like a failure. Has anybody ever sat under a teacher in a church that did not have the gift of teaching? And it was very clear and obvious. They did not have the gift of teaching. They're trying. But you know what? It could be it's just the old square peg in a round hole syndrome. See, you say, well, man alive, why can't they teach any better than that? Well, they may not have that gift. And that's why this class is important. And that's why this material is important. Because you want to serve where you fit, where the Holy Spirit's gifted you. And then, like I said earlier, don't covet somebody else's gift. Be who God made you in Christ. You know, other times we try to control the outlet of ministry in which we utilize the gift. And we try to do something that we're not really built to do. But yet we're trying so hard to do it. And it's just like knocking your head on that pulpit. You know? If I knock my head on that pulpit, I'm not going to hurt the pulpit, am I? I'm going to hurt that head right there. This morning, it was pitch dark, about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't have a garage door opener, and so I did the old hit it from inside and then run and leap over the sensor. Has anybody ever done that? Because you got the sensor, so you got to leap over it, you know. And so I hit that baby, and it's dark, you know. And, of course, if your garage is like mine, I'm dodging things as I'm running, you know. The kids' footballs and baseball gloves and baseball bats and this and that. And so I'm running out the garage. And about 6 o'clock this morning, I went like this, and I went up real high like this. And when I did, my shoulder caught the garage door. Man, it about knocked me over. I said, well, that's going to hurt tomorrow. Amen. That's going to hurt. That's going to be sore, let me tell you. But you know that garage door? I didn't hurt that a bit. It just kept right on going. But man, I hurt my shoulder. And you know what? A lot of times with spiritual gifts, it's just like that. Man, we're trying to bang our head on the garage door. We're trying to bang our head on that pulpit. And that's what it feels like. And we're not happy. We're not content. We're frustrated. Or then there's other times when we're just not involved in ministry because we don't know where we fit. So we just do nothing. We sit around and we just kind of come to church and we sit there, but we're not involved because we don't know where we fit. And so I want to encourage you to be faithful to the class this semester. We've only got 12 more after tonight. And I want to encourage you to be faithful and come each week, and we're going to go through this and discover our gifts in ministry. Okay?